Aretha Franklin on Radio 3, and here we go again, which loosely ties in to our chat with Maurice Misiolowski, who is live, hopefully, in Aussie. How are you?
Good, good. Happy Tuesday, everyone. And yeah, here we go again. It's amazing how quickly Tuesday comes around.
Oh, we love it, Maurice. Anyway, we've talked about AI so much. We've joked about this. Oh, you know, there's no choice. When we first started, we talked about new shovels and things to make tea with, but now it's AI.
It does seem to have become that way, doesn't it?
Oh, I don't. So when you get trawling through YouTube sometimes, there's some very, very clever things up there, humanized Simpsons and blah, 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 blah. And people have started calling it AI slop, and I'm thinking, aha, something's brewing here. Lo and behold, I come across an article in CNN Business that says, tired of AI, people are committing to the analog lifestyle in 2026. Let me just feed you a bit. Are people just getting infuriated with AI, Maurice?
No, I think they're getting infuriated.
Okay, thanks. That was Maurice.
I think it's infuriation with what we hoped it would be, and it's not. We had this thing, you know, we've been told forever through science fiction and Arnold Schwarzenegger and every movie and book and sci-fi and everything we've ever read that it was going to be utopia once this AI was ever built. We didn't know it was AI in those days. And the reality is that it's not. It's another clunky machine that we need to tame and we need to understand that's nowhere near as good as we think it will be.
I don't think it's the back end of it that narks people, Maurice. Forgive me, sorry jumping in. I think it's when you open things like Facebook and stuff. Is it AI, people say? It's AI. Every single meme, every single reel, no. A good 80% of them, people are questioning, is it AI? And they're just over it, to quote you boys.
Yeah, I think they are. I think that's exactly it. People are just over it, that it's just not doing what it does. And also, we're a bit wary now of it too, for exactly the reason that you've said, that this thing is insipid. We don't really know whether it is something we're reading or looking at or hearing from. There are people out there who claim that, and this is another thing that's happening in YouTube and everywhere else, that they claim that the things that you're watching aren't actually them. They're a digital twin clone. That kind of doesn't sit right with me. You know, there's a lot of stuff that we just don't know anymore, whether it's human or whether it's artificial. And I think that's part of the backlash now. We want to interact with humans.
I think my little personal gripe about AI vids on YouTube is they don't prompt the voices enough and it sounds rubbish. It doesn't
Yeah,
have
they
to.
Do. They do. And some of the tools that we use claim that they'll put a watermark on it. In other words, there's something on it that's obvious that says this wasn't made by a human, or this isn't a human, I should say.
Yeah.
And those things are, you know, they're so easy to overcome, it's not funny. So we don't see those watermarks, and we just don't know. And that's why I've said for quite a while that this year, 2026, would kind of be the year of who cares. It would be the year of good enough, meaning that we know it exists. It's electricity, it's gas. Just stop feeding me this steady diet of, you know, red cordial.
Yay.
About how wonderful it is. And just make the thing work. Just make it work like we want it to do. Let me use it as a tool. I don't want to be told that it's my master anymore, which is what many people think they're being told. In other words, it will control our lives and it will do everything. And some of the points made in the article, not mine, but the one you sent through, I think are really valid. I'm a bit concerned about how manipulative in some ways we have to be in our lives to get AI out of it and give us an oasis, because it talks about things that we used to call digital detox, which is unplugging the thing and going away from a screen. But why can't we just learn that these things are tools and put them down when we're finished with them, rather than having to schedule time on a weekend to not use them?
Yeah, I mean, there are a couple of issues at play here. One, I mean, Aretha wasn't wrong, was she? Here we go again. I'm just trying to get to the bottom of what just really pees people off. It's just like, yawn, more AI stuff. But this article is a bit different, Maurice, actually, isn't it? Because it says, with our homes and lives swarming with AI-powered devices, assistants and chatbots, a backlash is brewing. And they're calling this stuff analog lifestyle. It's different than a short-term digital detox. They're saying it's an effort to slow down and find tangible ways. So basically, you get the picture there. They're not saying that they're angry with it. They're just saying, let's step back, I think. But yeah, the question is why?
I'm not convinced it's a really big movement. That's what, for me, the bottom line is. I think there are a group of people that quite rightly have said this, feel this, and we all feel it to some extent. Why I wish it was a big movement, and I do wish it was a big movement, is because most people, most probably just me, kind of like the lazy road. And this is where I say it's just me. You know, if a piece of technology can actually do something for us and it seems to be right, then why don't we just let it, is what I say to myself. And at times you have to pull yourself back from that and say, no, I'm human. I actually should be, I should be the one who's commanding this, who's doing it.
Yeah.
That's why I'm not sure that it's going to be a big pushback. I think it's just going to be a pushback. And another reason is because I've heard this same argument made for when the internet, literally when the internet was introduced, literally when social media was introduced, for all of these big technology pushes, television was the same, radio was the same, you can't watch too much TV or your eyes,
we'll go square.
Radio was going to do the same thing. At every piece of technology we've ever invented, somebody has said to us that too much of a good thing is not good for you.
I think it's simple and people are just getting fed up with it. Like, stop ramming this down my throat. And what it does tend to make you go towards is like, so it was released in 22, was it? ChatGPT?
Yeah, November.
So, I mean, that's a monumental rise to stardom. And I wonder if it's going to hit the deck just as quickly because people have just had enough of hearing about it.
Yeah, it has to. The answer is it has to. There is something called the hype cycle.
Ah, yes.
And the hype cycle's been around forever. I mean, I taught it a long time ago in theory, in university and all those kinds of things. And it's a piece of model that was developed up in the 60s or before. And it is what is called a curve. And it's the stages people go through with technology. And this was long, long before AI. This was, technology of the old days, literally before any of this stuff. What it says is that there's an innovation trigger. Something happens, something's invented, something becomes known, whatever it is, all of a sudden it becomes obvious. And then you get really quickly, depending on what the technology is, for radio and television, this, by the way, took 20 years plus to get to this next stage, and that's the peak of inflated expectations. In other words, so many people have heard about it, so many people think it's wonderful, and they're all talking about it as if they're all incredible, knowledgeable people who know everything about everything, and we sit there and we say, VR, virtual reality is going to take over the world, we're not going to see anything anymore, we're going to be inside of glasses. The internet means we're not going to talk to anybody. Social media means we're never going to phone a friend or go out for dinner anymore. That's the peak of inflated expectations. It's going to do everything and change our lives.
Yeah.
And then as humans, the third step of this, and this is where I think we're at now with this conversation, AI, is we're in what's called the trough of disillusionment, which means none of that hype that we talked about, none of that stuff that I said before, people wrote about, people told me was going to happen, none of that seems to come true anymore. It's just not there anymore. I don't even want to talk about it anymore. I want to forget about it. That's I want to get on with my life.
Let's talk about, let me give you a couple of examples of what might be, because the hype cycle thing, that's brilliant. I really learned something today already. So is Bitcoin a radical hype cycle?
Yeah, everything is. I mean, literally everything from a marketing viewpoint, everything fits into the hype cycle. What's really interesting for me as a past academic and somebody who uses this stuff regularly is that the hype cycle used to be a really long time. As I said, radio, television literally took about 20, 25 years to reach innovation to peak of inflated expectations because few people had it, few people had access, it was expensive, it was difficult, clumsy technology, it just wasn't around. So it took a long time to get there. What's happening now, and AI is the perfect example.
It seems to be, doesn't it?
It goes up like a rocket, literally like a rocket. It goes straight up. It doesn't do a curve anymore, that long, smooth curve. It just goes straight up and it takes over everything, every bit of media, every bit of conversation. All we do is hear about it day in, day
out,
and it goes straight. Exactly. And like a rocket, which is what's happening now, trough of disillusionment, it comes down exactly the same as if it's coming back down into the ocean. It's gone into space and it's coming back down, and it's just that almost really steep triangle. And that's why it feels like it's overwhelming, because we've heard so much about it and now we're so disappointed it's not listening to anything and not doing anything that we said we wanted it to do, that we just think it's almost garbage, just get out of our lives.
So this is the thing, hype cycle. I've been trying to figure out what the name of this... It's not the ascending that I'm interested in, it's the crash. I mean, would the 1990s dot-com bubble have been an early example of that?
Yep.
Everyone went nuts, didn't they?
I mean, my answer is going to be yes to all this, because you can make everything squeeze into that, because the next stage of that is called the slope of enlightenment, and it finishes off, the last stage is the plateau of productivity. And what you tend to find is, and for me, 3D printing was a really good one. In our early days, you and I, we talked a lot about 3D printing.
Yeah.
We're going to 3D print
food. Don't anymore, do we?
and the house and cars, everything was going to be 3D printed. And you and I think maybe had one conversation, maybe two last year. I remember a couple of houses. There was an apartment block and a hotel. But there wasn't much else about 3D printing. In other words, it's become so ordinary and so overhyped that now what we have are some really good examples of things being used. And when they are, we talk about them. And when they're not, we don't even mention it or think about it.
Is that bad for the thing, though? Because we're so we're so enabled these days that I don't like that. And if everybody's going, I don't like that, even though it could be an absolute genius invention, which, let's face it, AI is. And because we're just gossiping about it on social media and sort of slamming it, it gets scooted off to the side.
But what happened? What tends to happen is it goes out of everyday conversation and it goes into practical conversation.
Is that because it was in everyday conversation?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And then what people tend to do is they tend to find a purpose for it. So we've talked about virtual reality, the headset you put on where the world disappears, and we don't talk about it much anymore. But when you go into medicine, it's talked about a lot because it's such an incredible tool in medicine where a doctor can put these, or a nurse or anybody else, can put these goggles on and see the patient, of course, the real patient in front of them, but overlaid with the x-rays and then literally a mark of where they should be putting their scalpel. All those things are terrific. In warehousing, it's used a lot. So there are really good, deep, practical purposes for them. We just don't hear about it anymore because it's not sexy enough. It's just ordinary. That was
interesting. We talked about Google specs and everybody made fun of those.
Yeah.
And then there was the Oculus.
Yes.
Oculus Rift.
Yes. which was exactly the same thing. All of these things were variations of them, but it worked exactly the same.
Things you get beaten up for wearing, basically.
Yeah, basically. And they really had no purpose. I mean, I'm sitting here looking on my shelf of my very first pair of virtual reality goggles, which came out with Samsung. You know, they were meant to be the big thing. I haven't put that thing on in about 4 years now. There's not much for me to do in it, but I do that. I haven't put mine on, but I've been into great labs and into other places where I've put them on because the person who gives them to me has a terrific purpose for them, and I see such wonder in that. So it's very specific. And that's AI too. I agree with this movement. I agree with all the movements because technology should never take over our lives. It should just be a tool that we use. We put it down when it's not necessary. We pick it up when it's helpful, and we just don't get overly excited about it any other time.
Brilliant. So let's try and sort of summarise a little bit. Obviously, our chat today is about AI, and it just makes me laugh. People are calling it AI slop. I mean, that pretty much sums up sentiment, doesn't it? So we had this massive excitement around ChatGPT particularly, and then lies and BS and misinformation, copyright battles, all sorts of ethical stuff happened. And basically we are where we are because people are arguing about it all the time. Oh, and there was that it'll take your jobs thing.
Yeah, and we still hear a lot of that. And the difficulty is that when it comes down to having the actual conversation, so forget the hype, what you said is absolutely what we're saying. But when it comes down to the brass tacks, well, how many jobs has it taken? Not that many, really. And has it really changed our lives? Yeah, a little bit, but not significant like we thought it might 2 years ago. So it just balances itself out, hopefully.
Okay, so are we still in the honeymoon stage? I mean, you know, it's there's no argument that it has helped humanity in many ways and will continue to do so. So if people stop going on about it and just let it be, is that when it will just become normality?
Yeah, it will. Now, the other thing, we talked about the trajectory of this thing, straight up, straight down. There's been no time to actually innovate. All the stuff that will come of it, because AI is not going to disappear, the internet didn't disappear, television didn't disappear, it evolved over time.
Yeah.
Everything evolves over time. Yeah. We haven't had that time with AI. It literally went straight up, the world was promised, here's Willy Wonka, everything you want is in here, and then all of a sudden we walked in and it wasn't all in there. It's going to take us years and decades to actually make sense and purpose out of artificial intelligence.
We really want that free lunch, don't we? And we get sick of it when we don't get it.
And it's just too soon. I mean, 3 years. How do we take this technology from nothing to being everything in 3 years? It just can't be done. But our expectations are just overly hyped. And also, again, I know I've said four times already in the last few minutes, but it's just a tool. Let's just please put it on the shelf. Let's use it where it's good and where it's bad or useless. Let's just forget about it. these detoxes and things are great, but what it says to me is that people are using it and at some point saying, well, I'm going to diet. You know, I'm going to have the diet for that. I'm going to get over it. And when I finish my diet, I'm going to go back and gorge myself. I just don't think that's a great way to live for me anyway. I'd rather, you know, have the steadiness all the way through, use it where it's helpful, put it down when it's not, and just go on with life the rest of the time.
I tell you what, listening to you speak now, it comes up with one more question, which is it going to drive people away from social media? Is it going to terminally damage social media? Because people are sick of all the junk popping up.
It's going to change social media a lot because I don't think that in social media, if you go back to its very roots, which again is only about 15 years ago, Facebook and all those things were really the first big mediums, we had to go and find stuff. In other words, you had to find, you know, Auntie Mary or you had to find Phil or Morris or whatever, and you had to read whatever he or she said. And I remember we had conversations going back all that far. I don't really care where they're having coffee. I'm just overloaded with what they did yesterday. I don't care if the kids cried last night because we heard everything in social media. Now we don't put that up in much anymore. And I think what artificial intelligence will do, and I think this is actually a bad thing, and a bad and capital letters bad thing, is it will tell us what's important. So instead of me having to go and read everything about what your kid did and where they went to school and where they played and whatever else, it's actually going to send me that information if it thinks I'm relevant, but I'm not going to see anything else. I'm only going to see what's relevant. Yeah. If I start to only listen to what artificial intelligence tells me is important because it's made the decision for me. We said this in social media, the same thing, and I'm saying it even louder now in artificial intelligence. It's a real trap that we could just start hearing our own ecosystem repeated to us.
The reason I ask if it might have a really bad impact on the future of social media is because, to sum up an emotion, when people see reels and funky stuff and, you know, they go, AI, essentially, yawn. People are just bored with it, whatever, meh, you know. Will that drive people away from graphic social media? Graphic as in moving pictures, not naughty stuff.
I think it has the potential to do. Social media in itself anyway is waning. It's becoming less popular. Very few people use Facebook. They don't use anything the way that they used to even 5 years ago. The whole notion of it
Facebook doesn't exactly make it easy for us, does it? Let's be perfectly honest. No. I wonder if they've got AI running it.
Well, they supposedly, I don't know if it's running it, but it certainly is the back engine of it. It's definitely gone big into it. And the notion of what we once we use social media for isn't necessary anymore, just like the old telephone book isn't necessary anymore.
Yeah.
So they're reinventing what that thing was, which is really a way that we can keep up with people. That keeping up with people is now changing. And yes, that's being driven by artificial intelligence to a great extent, but still we're humans. Let's make our own connections without it.
Well, I've learned something today. What was it again?
The hype cycle.
The hype cycle. That's brilliant. Anyway, if you want to check out more of Morris's stuff, morrisfuturist.com, and the article on the blog at the top at the moment is why 2026 might be a good enough year and why that might be exactly what leaders need right now, which is a kind of left-hand turn from what we've been talking about. Have a great week, Morris. Love talking to you.
You too.
Take care. Bye-bye.